This morning, I'm going to be talking to you about the three final spiritual gifts that are listed in 1 Corinthians 12, which are the gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues, and the gift of interpretation of tongues. If this is your first time here this morning, welcome to Vision Church. You picked a good Sunday to be here because we're going to jump right into this. Are you ready? Ask your neighbor, are you ready? Y'all are shy today. Ask your neighbor like you mean it. Are you ready? All right. Now, I want to read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. For to one is given the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all of these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. That's all I want to read right there. Basically, if you missed the beginning, the first weeks of this series, I just want to encourage you to go back, check it out on the podcast. They should be completely caught up this week. Check out the podcast, watch it online. You could go to visionchurch.com, but make sure that you take some time to check that out. If I went back and recapped, it would take way too long, and we don't have time for that today. But what I want you to understand this morning is that when you gave your life to Jesus, when you were saved, when you repented of your sin, in that moment, by the power of his Spirit, he gave you gifts unto men. The Bible says that to as many as received him, to them he gave the power to be the sons of God. When you said yes to Jesus, he said yes to you, and he gave you gifts, and he equipped you and empowered you to do the work of the ministry in this life. He gave you gifts to finish what he started. Over the last few weeks, we talked about how do I know which gift I possess? How do I know what God has given me? So you'll have to check that out. I'm not going to go there this morning. But this morning, we're going to talk about the gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. These are heavy hitters. These divide churches. People get upset. They drop kick things. But this morning, you're going to get it all wrapped up in one, and I'm pumped about it. Now, because one thing about our church, we don't shy away from anything. We don't skip over topics because it might be uncomfortable for you. Because see, the reality is man's opinion isn't our standard. The word of God is our standard. And that is what we preach, and that is what we ascribe our lives to. Even if it makes us uncomfortable. So with that said, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning in verse 8. I want to start with something really, really powerful. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. You've got to understand this in order for us to move forward. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning in verse 8. I'm going to read this from the ASV version. Love never fails, but where there be prophecies, they shall be done away. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall be done away. For we know now in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. Now, let me just take a time out. We're going to preach on this one for just a minute. Now, this is a verse that many pastors, many denominations stand on, and they say, this is the biblical evidence that the gift of prophecy has ceased, that it doesn't operate in the church anymore. That was something for the Old Testament saints, that's something that's gone, done away with. They also use this verse to say speaking in tongues is not relevant. God doesn't have a purpose for it in the church. It is not effective. It's gone and done away with. It was for the saints of old. They use this verse and they say, see, prophecy, though it's powerful, we only prophesy in part. It'll be done away with. Words of knowledge, the gifts of the Spirit, we have them, but they'll be done away with. Did you read it? It said it right there. And so many people say, it's done. It doesn't exist. It doesn't happen anymore. But I just want to drop this in your spirit real quick. God doesn't give outdated gifts. Look at your neighbor and help me preach and say, God doesn't give outdated gifts. Tell them like you mean it. God doesn't give out of style or out of date gifts. He doesn't do it. How many of you have that great aunt? And at Christmas time, she gives you a Christmas present. She wraps it up all awesome, and she gives it to you like she's giving you $100 million. She's so proud of it. But then you open it, you unwrap it, and what it is, it's like a sweater from 1979. It's so out of style. All you want to do is drop kick it and put it in the trash. You're like, thank you. But really, you think I'm about to throw this away because it's out of style. It's out of date. Anybody got some family members who give you some out of date, out of style gifts? Well, God isn't your great aunt. He doesn't mess up like that. He knows what's in style. He knows what's in season. He is not giving you something that is out of date. He doesn't give you a promise in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and say, I'm going to give you a good gift. I'm going to give you an awesome gift that's going to sustain you and empower you and enlighten you. And then, oh, the next chapter, I'm going to take it away. You're getting uncomfortable, but you'll be all right. God doesn't give outdated gifts. Now watch this, watch this, watch this. I love this. And people, I've had people, dear friends of mine who I love dearly, but they'll say, God does not use the gift of prophecy. God does not use tongues. That is old, outdated, and done away with. Welcome to the New Testament. Come in and we'll come to light. But I just want to point just one sentence out in what I just read that might just shift that just a little bit. Listen closely. Love never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away with. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Now watch this sentence right here. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. The Bible says, when that which is perfect comes, then prophecy, speaking in tongues, words of knowledge, the gifts of the Spirit, they will be done away with. Now, here's what you got to understand. 1 Corinthians 13 is not talking about when Jesus, who is perfect, the image of the invisible God, came the first time. It was written after he was born of a Virgin Mary. After he lived a life without sin, after he performed the miraculous, was nailed to a cross, died, and 3 days later ascended to the right hand of the Father and was witnessed by over 550 men and women. This was written by the Apostle Paul in the letter to the Corinthians after all of that. Perfection had already come. It had already stepped into human form. What he's saying is that when Jesus, the perfect king, comes again. And when he establishes his kingdom and his reign shall have no end, when he comes again, or when you are absent from your body and present with the Lord, when perfection comes to you, when the presence of God, you are in his presence, you will no longer need these gifts of the Spirit. When you die and you're in heaven in the presence of God, you won't need the gift of prophecy. You won't need the gift of praying in tongues. You won't need the gift of interpretations of tongues. You won't need a word of knowledge. You won't need it. Because you'll be in his presence. You will see him as he is. 1 Corinthians 13 continues by saying that we now see through a glass darkly. We need the gifts now because we only see part of the picture. We can only see just a figment of his character and who he is. For now in this earth, on dusty old planet Earth, we only see just a glimpse, a vague figure of who he is. But that's why we need the gifts, so that we'll be enlightened and awakened and more sensitive and in tune to his Spirit and his working. But when we die and we're absent from the body, or when Jesus returns, when the perfect king establishes his kingdom and it shall have no end, then the gifts will cease, because there'll be no more need of them. Did you read it? Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians after Christ had already come. He's saying he's coming again. Jesus is coming again. And when he comes again, that's when you will need these no longer. Is this making any sense to anybody? All right. The gifts are not out of style. The gifts are not outdated. The Apostle Paul didn't write it with the unction of the Holy Spirit in chapter 12 and then change his mind a chapter later. He didn't do it. So, you know, there you are. I love you. If you disagree, love you. Just read the Bible. Sorry, I don't mean that in a condescending way. By the way, just a timeout real fast. Christians, we got to get off our high horses and trying to debate everybody and be like, well, you know, that denomination, they don't believe it, so I'm going to argue with it. Listen, I'm just going to put it real plain and simple to you right now. You might disagree with some of this doctrine. You might disagree with it. You might interpret it or understand it a different way, but that doesn't make you any less a Christian than I am. And I'm not going to go to war with you. I'm not going to battle with you because the world doesn't need to see church people and Christians arguing about each other. Look, friend, if you can get down with the fact that Jesus was born sinless, he lived a life without sin, he performed the miraculous, he was nailed to the tree, he died and 3 days later got up again, and that's how we're saved, that's how we're redeemed. If you preach that and you believe that, I can get down with you. I can love you. I can be right beside you. But I'm not going to fight you over the other things. I'm not going to. There's no sense in it. But this series is called Gift Exchange, and God put it in my spirit to teach this church about the spiritual gifts, so you're welcome. Here we are. Now look at your neighbor and tell them, God's gifts are never out of style. Tell them again, like you mean it. Because now you know what you're saying. They're never out of style, never. They just absolutely are not. Now, we're going to move into the gift of prophecy. This is awesome. Anybody pumped about this? I'm pumped about this. The gift of prophecy. The Bible says that when you are redeemed, when you are blood-bought, when you repent of your sin, that the Holy Spirit will come to you and he will empower you. He will give gifts unto men and he will empower you. And the Bible says that one of the nine gifts is the gifts of prophecy. Now, when we hear this, at first we get a little bit weirded out. At first when we hear this, we're like, I don't know about this. This makes me uncomfortable. It's a little bit weird. Maybe that's one of those type churches. But when you and I think about prophecy, when we think about the gift of prophecy, or we hear that word prophecy, we automatically think of somebody who tells the future, somebody who sees what's coming and sees what's ahead. And absolutely, that's what prophecy is. That's what prophecy means. Somebody that is enlightened has a glimpse of what is coming and what is ahead. Now, some of you are like, I can't get down with that. That's weird. I don't go to a church that believes in prophecy. That's weird. Yeah, it's weird. It's called supernatural. It defies human logic and defies human limitation. It is supernatural. It's bigger than you. It's greater than you. It's bigger than anything in this world, and it's greater than anything this life and dusty old planet Earth has to offer. It's bigger. Now, here's my deal with you. You who say, I don't believe in prophecy. I don't believe God does that. This is weird. Now, here, I just want to take an official time out and just ask you a question real quick. So you mean to tell me that you believe that he is God Almighty, the one whose throne is above the stars of the north in the highest heaven? The earth is his footstool. He looks down at all creation. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. You mean to tell me that you believe that he is God Almighty and he can't tell you what's coming tomorrow? He sees the end from the beginning, and you can't believe that he sees tomorrow? I want you to know he starts with the end in mind. In fact, when the scripture introduces Jesus onto the scene, it calls him this, the Lamb of God who was slain from the foundations of the world. Meaning that God had foreordained, he saw the end from the beginning. And when he released his son, when the Son of God stepped onto this planet, it wasn't to be determined. We'll figure this out when it rolls and we'll see how it rolls. No, God had already planned and preordained his sacrificial death as an expression of your love and for the atonement of your sin. He sees the end from the beginning. Look at your neighbor, help me preach, and tell him he sees the end from the beginning. He sees the end. So you're going to tell me in that brown fold-out chair that you're sitting in that you don't believe God can tell you what's coming? You don't think God can deposit in your spirit just a clue of what's coming ahead? You don't believe he can do that? Well, then you need to believe God and see him from a different perspective. You need to believe and dare to believe that he can do more than what you've previously experienced. That needs to set in. He can do more than what he did in your past. He can do more. But now listen, when we think about prophecy. We think about somebody who tells the future and what's coming. And absolutely, God can do that. God has the power to do that. He sees the end from the beginning, no question about it. But the gift of prophecy does more than just tell the future. The gift of prophecy also, when it is active in the body of Christ, reiterates scripture at the appropriate time and season that moves you to a response. I'm going to say that just one more time. The gift of prophecy not only gives insight to what is coming, but it also reiterates the word of God and deposits it in your life for right now. That's the gift of prophecy. That's what it does. It's not just always about the future, but it speaks forth God's truth from his word. And before we go into more depth here, I just want to take another time out to say, it amazes me how many people and how many denominations can believe God to save them, but they cannot believe that his spirit works miracles today. Now, I just want to take a time out and I just want to just put this real plain for you. If you can believe God to save you, but you don't believe he can do anything miraculous about your today, that's an oxymoron. Because the greatest miracle of all is salvation. So you mean to tell me you believe that he can roll back the hands of time, step into your past, and make your crimson stains white as snow? You mean to tell me you believe that his blood sacrificially spilled out is enough to redeem you? You believe that he can snatch your soul from the fires of an eternal hell? You believe that he can save you, but you don't believe he can move supernaturally in your life today? That's a little confusing to me, because the greatest miracle of all is salvation. And if you can believe him to save you, then you already have enough faith to believe he can do anything he wants to do, because he's God and he's greatly to be praised. You ought to bless him. You ought to praise him like you mean it. We can have the faith in his saving power, but we can't seem to muster the faith to believe that God can do the miraculous. Listen, if you can believe him for salvation, you've already jumped over the greatest faith hurdle of all. Now it's all downhill from here. You can believe the rest. That's the greatest miracle. It's the greatest. Now, if you have your Bible, look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning in verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. The Apostle Paul gives us a more descriptive account of how the gift of prophecy benefits the body when it's operated in order. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. I'm going to read that again. The gift of prophecy serves three purposes in the New Testament church. It speaks unto men for edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's awesome. That's what the gift of prophecy, that's why he gave that gift. If God gives a gift, it's because you need it. It's not because you earned it. It's not because you deserve it, but it's because he wants to equip you. He wants to empower you. He wants to edify you. He wants to exhort you and comfort you. Now, some of those are a little churchy words, and I get that, so we're going to break it down just a little bit clearer. The first purpose of prophecy is edification. What does the word edification mean? The word edification means to encourage or to uplift. The word of edification means to encourage you when you're down, to uplift you, to build you spiritually. I want to take a moment real quick to tell you about what this looks like in my life real quick. This week has been a pretty up and down week for me, more down than up, but God is still good. He's awesome. And there was a night this week, last night actually, I was really down and really discouraged about some situations in my life and just feeling discouraged, really seriously. And like it was, I mean, I was affected by this, really. And no sooner, I promise, No sooner did I start these feelings happening, like I was starting to get discouraged, starting to think negative, starting to backtrack, starting to think old mindsets. No sooner did those emotions and those feelings start to happen in my life, and then bleep, somebody sent me a text right on my phone, and it showed up right on my iPad where I was looking at the sermon notes, and they send me this verse, Isaiah 43:18, which says this, "Remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, and now it shall spring forth. Don't you know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert." I'm telling you, that is a prophetic move of God right in my situation. The Holy Spirit impressed it on somebody's heart in a different state, thousands of miles away, to send me a verse right when I needed it. And as I began to pack that out and read it, it hit my heart. It pierced me, and I started to like tear up. I didn't cry because that's not manly enough. No, I'm just kidding. But I did. I was tearing up a little bit, and I was like, "Thank you, Jesus." And at first, I got to be real. When that verse showed up, I was like, "Nah, I don't want to see that. Nah, I don't want to look at that." But then something inside of me was like, "You need to read that. You need to pick that phone back up, and you need to read that verse." And as I began to read it, I was like, "Thank you, Jesus. Surely you hear me. Surely you do see me. Surely your spirit is working on my behalf." And you might not believe in prophecy. You might not believe in the prophetic operation of the Spirit. But I'll tell you one thing, I do, and I'm thankful for it, because it edified me in my time of need. You ought to praise him like you mean it. And right there, sitting in that place as I was looking at that, it actually happened three times this week. Three times it happened this week. Levi sent me a text. Ashley Stafford sent me a text. And some dude I don't even know. I don't even have his number saved. From states away sends me a text. I don't even know this dude. Not even programmed in my phone. Sends it right on time. Thank you, Levi. Thank you, Ashley Parker. I'll get your name right. You say, "Well, that's not prophecy." Well, then what is it? It's God's word spoken to a real situation in my life right when I needed it. That is prophetic. That is the unction of the Spirit of God putting it on their heart to send to me right in my time. But here's the danger. What if nobody had been in tune for God for me? What if nobody had been spending time in his presence? What if nobody had been praying? What if nobody had been in tune with his Spirit? I might not have got that text. I might not have got any of the three of them. I might not be in the state of mind that I'm in this morning to deliver his word and message. And think about the people that you come in contact with. Think about the people that are inside of your influence. Think about their lives. Think about how desperately God wants to speak to them. But you don't believe in the gifts. You don't believe that's how it works. But I want to challenge you. I want to push you outside of the realm of your comfort today to be in tune with his Spirit. Receive his Spirit. Be baptized fully in it and allow his Spirit to speak to you and empower you and mind his Spirit when he puts it on your heart, because you never know who needs to hear what you have right when you have it. And some of y'all have operated in the gift of prophecy and you didn't even know it. But that's it. It's not just knowing the future. It's not just giving insight to what's ahead. But it's showing and revealing and depositing God's word right on time. The gift of prophecy is given for three reasons. Number one, edification, to build you, to encourage you. That's what it did for me. It lifted me up. And the next thing that the gift of prophecy does is the Bible says in 1 Corinthians that it's given for the exhortation. The exhortation. Now, we read that word and we're like, that's churchy. That's King James. I don't know what that means. I'm going to smile and nod like I think I know, but I really don't know. So I'm going to tell you what it means. The word exhort means to influence or to urge strongly. Now, I love that. To urge strongly. The gift of prophecy, when it is used by his Spirit, urges the recipient strongly. It influences them greatly. It moves them deeply. It touches them genuinely. When His Spirit speaks through you, it not only edifies and encourages those who receive it, but it exhorts them into action. It inspires them. It urges them to do something about what they just heard. Because, you know, if you're anything like me, it's one thing to know that you ought to pray, and sometimes you just don't. It's one thing to know that you ought to spend time in His Word, and sometimes you just don't. It's one thing to know that you ought to be faithful to God, but sometimes you just aren't. It's one thing to know that you're supposed to be a witness and a light and an example to all those who are around you, but sometimes you just aren't. That's why you need the operation of the Word of God through the prophetic gift, because it doesn't only encourage you, but it spurs you and moves you forward into action. You need biblical application? Great, glad you asked. James chapter 1, verse 22, the author of the book of James, James himself, he was an exhorter by nature. He had the prophetic gift in operation in his writings. If you read James chapter 1, what does he say? James, in the first chapter, he drop kicks everyone in the face. He's like, hey, don't just be a hearer of my word, be a doer. Don't just think about it, but act on it. Don't just think about it, hear it, take it in, but live it out. James was an exhorter. His gift, he spoke the word of God, but it moved people to action. It moved people to action. That's how he wants to use you. That's how he wants to use you. With your coworkers, with your friends, your family members, he wants to put his word in your heart that you would give it to them, and he will supernaturally, by your obedience, he will cause it to move them, to stir them, to convict them, to draw them out of where the enemy has them kept. It exhorts you. It moves you. When I was laying there in bed and I get that text, that word moved me. At first I was like, I don't want to read that. But then the word, I saw the verse already and I knew it. And it was like, the Lord's like, pick it up and read it again. Pick it up and read it again. The word of the prophets exhort. They inspire. They motivate. They are catalysts to genuine change. James was an exhorter. His word was prophetic, and it inspired people to live out genuine change. James 1, 22 said, be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. That's the kind of work God wants to do in you. That's the kind of work he wants to do through you. But you've got to be in tune with his spirit. You've got to be spending time in his presence. You've got to be picking up the word for yourself. Otherwise, how will you have any word to share with anybody else who's in need? And like JP shared just a few moments ago, the people that you're working with, the people that you're living beside, the people that you're related to, God isn't calling me to walk into their life. He's already got you placed in position right where you need to be. But if you don't have the word deep in your heart, you're not going to have anything to give them. But man, if you will spend time in this word, if you will open up your heart to the giftings and the moving of his spirit, he will move and he will speak through you in such a way that it encourages and that it inspires people to action. And if you're thankful for that, you ought to praise him like you mean it. You ought to bless him. But there's a third thing that the gift of prophecy does. There's a third thing that it does. And the Bible says that the prophecy, the gift of prophecy, it not only edifies, it not only exhorts, but it comforts. Look at your neighbor and tell them it comforts. And I'm telling you, this is awesome right here. This is awesome right here. I'm thankful that it doesn't just dropkick me, but it comforts me. I do say dropkick a lot. I'm sorry. Not really sorry. It comforts you. That's what it did for me. Last night, scrolling the phone, feeling discouraged, feeling down, reading that word, and his word, let me show you what encouraged me. Because these words sound, I'm just going to give you a real life example of how it encouraged me. Isaiah 43, 18. Remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. And I read that and I'm like, okay, heard that before, preached that before, know that. But something jumped out right there to me. And it said, watch this, after the semicolon, now it shall spring forth. Do you not know it? Now it shall spring forth. Don't you know it? Right now, I'm going to do the work. And that jumped out. That just hit me. I'm like, now? You ready now? Okay, now. Now he's doing the work. And that brought comfort to my soul because it wasn't just a word from yesterday. It was a word for today. It wasn't what God used to do, but it's what God is doing and desires to do right now. His word comforts. His word comforts. It's awesome. So, so awesome. I got to just share this with you real quick. And I know we're probably not going to get to tongues. We're probably not going to get that. We'll just keep going another week because we're just not, there's not enough time. But I want to share with you this really quickly. There was a woman from my home church in West Virginia growing up. Her name was Vivian Harvey. Derek, you know her. Powerful woman of God. She's no longer with us. But this woman operated in the gift of a prophet. And it wasn't a weird thing where she would come and like scare everybody. And she told everybody everything. It wasn't scary. It wasn't weird. God is a God of order. He moves in order. He doesn't operate in confusion. If it's confusing you, that's not him. It needs to get cleaned up. But this woman had a sweet, gentle spirit. And I remember Vivian Harvey because I started preaching when I was like 13, 14 years old. I was like little and weird and sermons were probably horrible. But she would always comfort me. And I remember when I would walk into church on a Sunday morning, if I was having a bad week, you couldn't hide it from Vivian. You couldn't hide it from her. You do one of those numbers where you know people can see something's wrong, but you don't want to admit it. So you're like, I'm having a good day. Hi, thanks. See ya. And Vivian's like, what's wrong? She knows. She was a comforter. And one thing that Vivian would always do, and Derek, you can attest to this, she was a comforter. She was a comforter, but she didn't just put her arm around you and pat you on the head and be like, here's the cookie, have a good day, like here's some gum, go run along. No. She spoke God's word over me. She would say, you're more than a conqueror through him. And greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. She would speak the word over my life. And that wasn't telling my future, but that was sure letting me know what God had in store for my future. And she would speak the word over me and comfort me. And I don't know about you, but Vision Church, we need some church mamas around here that are going to be comforters, that are going to throw their arm around you, that are going to walk in the office of the prophet, that are going to serve that body that type of way, where they're going to know you deeper than your name and your major at college, but they're going to know you so well, they know if you're having a bad day or a great day. And if you're having a bad one, you can't lie about it. They're going to sit you down and make sure they get to the heart and the root of what's going on. And they're going to speak the word of God prophetically over your life, calling those things that are not as though they are, speaking them into existence, calling them forward. That's the type of work that God wants to do in this place. You can give him praise. That's awesome. And I'm just going to take an official time out because this just dropped in my spirit. Yeah, this is free. Anybody ever read Ezekiel 37? And if you don't feel awkward. It's okay. You don't have to know it. I'm just talking to the people who've been here for a while. Ezekiel 37 is where the Spirit of God carries away the prophet Ezekiel by his spirit. And he brings him to a valley full of dry bones. And God asks Ezekiel, he says, what do you see, Ezekiel, when you look out over those bones? Ezekiel was a prophet. Ezekiel said, I just see dead bones laying. But then God spoke to him and he said, hey, Ezekiel, I want you to speak to the bones. I want you to speak to the dead places. I want you to speak to the deaf, and I want you to call it life. I want you to speak my word over what looks like death. I want you to speak hope over what looks like something that was squandered and wasted. And as Ezekiel in the 37th chapter began to speak life over what was once dead, those bones began to rattle. Those bones began to shake. They began to have muscles and ligaments and joints form supernaturally on them, and they began to stand as a mighty, powerful army under the command of the voice of the Most High God. I'm telling you, when you speak the word, it may look dead, but you speak life anyway, because the prophetic word not only edifies, it not only exhorts, it not only comforts, but it brings death back to life. It brings hope to the hopeless. And even though you might be related to a drug dealer, an alcoholic, somebody who abuses pain medication, and you look at them and you've tried time and time and time again to get them to see the light. You tried to get them to see hope, to see that there's a better tomorrow for them, but they just can't help but see where they are. I want to challenge you, do not give up. Never surrender. Keep believing. Keep speaking life. Keep proclaiming the word of God over what may seem to be a very dead place. And as you speak his word prophetically, it will bring life. Isaiah 55:11 says, when the word goes forth, it cannot return void. Cannot being the key word. It can't help but bring life. And I just want to drop something else your way. You're like, well, you know, I could speak scripture over somebody that's an addict, somebody that's dried up, and somebody that's just been running in the street. I could speak the word, but what's that going to do? Or maybe you've done it before and you didn't see any immediate changes. Well, let me just encourage you with this right here. From Genesis to Revelation, we see one character trait of God Almighty, and that is this. He always works from the inside out. I'm going to say that again. He always works from the inside out. We want to work from the outside in. We want to see the behavior change. We want to see the drugs stop. We want to see the immediate cutoff. We want to see the 180. But his word works from the inside out. Why? Because God's not interested in trimming behaviors. He's interested in transforming their heart. He's interested in making them new. And I wonder how many people we've given up on because we didn't see, because we couldn't see with the natural eye what God was doing in the unseen realms of their life. Do not give up on anybody breathing. Do not give up. If there's life in their body, if there's breath in their lungs, God is not finished. He's not finished. In closing, as the band comes to help me close, that way as the music plays, I remember that I am winding down. Look with me one more place. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 29. And I got to get through this. So if you've checked out mentally, wake back up, because you need this. You really, really need this. Today will be incomplete if you don't get this. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 29. Let two or three people prophesy and let the others evaluate what is said. Now, I want to take time out real quick and just lay this out here. If you are expecting this one sermon to cover everything about prophecy, you're sadly mistaken, because we can't even scrape the tip of the iceberg. But I'm going to say to you what's important. So this is not, we're not encompassing everything, but this you got to know. And here's what this says. Let two or three people prophesy, but let the elders of the church, let them evaluate what is spoken. Here's what this means. Just because somebody comes to you and says, thus saith the Lord, we're not believing everything that we hear. Do you hear me? We do not believe every word that's spoken over us. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's granny. I don't care if it's mom, dad, pastor. I don't care who it is. When a prophetic word is given to you, when somebody gives you a word, you do not, even if they say, thus saith the Lord, or it's from God, you don't just say, check, that's awesome, let's do it. That's out of order. Because what the scriptures say is where there's a prophecy, evaluate it, test it. How do I evaluate what's said? How do I test what was said to me? By the word of God. It is our standard. If what they said to you with a thus saith the Lord on the end doesn't agree with the word of God, God didn't say it. Let me put it into terms because you're looking like you're confused. What if I walked up to you and I was like, AJ, sorry for picking on you, AJ. I feel like I pick on you a lot. AJ, the Lord told me that you are supposed to be a missionary to Russia. The way tippy-top north of Russia in the cold. As the Lord, thus saith the Lord, brother. Sorry, Erica. You're destined to a life in the cold in an igloo. Now, here's the deal. I don't care if I said it. It's your job from there to hear what was said. But then 1 Corinthians 14:29 says, evaluate it. Evaluate it based on the word of God. In other words, God might use a prophetic voice to stir you, to move you, to encourage you, and maybe even confirm what God has already started in you. But it's up to you to take what is spoken and evaluate it on the word. Not your emotions, not your feelings, not your previous relationship with this person, but based on the word of God. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? So if somebody says to you, thus saith the Lord, I don't care. They could say, thus saith the Lord, all they want. If it doesn't line up with the word and it doesn't bear witness in your spirit based on the word of God, it wasn't from God. 1 Corinthians 14 gives you the charge to evaluate what was really spoken over your life. Now, in the same token, I know I'm preaching a long time, but I got to say this. In the same token, those of you who believe God has given you a prophetic gift, be very careful about saying, God said, or thus saith the Lord. Be very careful about saying, God told me, God said this. Be careful. And here's this practical application. I get upset when people come to me and they're like, well, so-and-so told me that you said da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, I didn't say that. Does it offend you? Does it upset you when people go and say that you said something that you didn't really say? How do you feel when that happens? Upset, offended. How do you think God feels? When we're like, oh, God said, let's say, and the Lord's like, I did? Be very careful when you use that terminology. Be very careful when you speak that over somebody's life because it's serious. It's powerful. Now, if he said it to you and you know it, say it. But if not, you keep that for yourself. I'm going to pray over you. Father, we thank you for the power of your word.